do that. Any other questions at this moment? Oh, guys, you're going to leave me talking on my own here.
Yeah.
I can do that. That's okay. I'm delighted to share, delighted to answer questions. So, see how we go. Okay, so let me start on... Go ahead.
I do have a question. So we come, you said we come in with one predominant type, but we still have all three.
We come in with a tendency to land someplace on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But as we develop over time, that may shift.
Mm-hmm.
So a child is not a blank slate. A child has a personality and a tendency. Some children are innate bullies from the time they come out of the womb. And some children prefer to play quietly and calmly, and some just want to sit on your lap. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this would indicate where they started are starting from. Does that make sense?
Yes. So
as you develop, you're integrating more and more complex factors.
And the core fear would shift as well.
The core fear develops in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can explain this a different way. There's a reason why we are human, and that's because it's so hard to be human. Okay? Being human is about the most work anybody could ever dream up. This is a crazy way to do a spiritual task. To be at the mercy of all these instincts and hormones and feelings and thought processes, it's very complicated. So part of being human is that you are going to be wounded as a child. That's the basis for core energetics and for a lot of body psychotherapy and about path work, that there's a certain kind of wounding that we all receive in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And we spend a very large portion of our lives in reaction from that. Now, from a positive perspective, I like to call that rocket fuel. Rather than seeing it as wounding and, ooh, I got hit in this way and I got stuck in this personality the rest of my life, you can think of it as I needed to go to the right, so I gave myself a reactionary childhood that would send me to the right. And whether it sends you to the right, left, upper, it doesn't really matter. We're all headed someplace. And according to the Pathwork Lectures, that is about completing a life task. And since you knew about your life task before you manifested, and you chose your parents and your childhood situation and your culture and all these other things, the best analogy I've been able to come up with is it's like playing a game of billiards. When you set up the table in a certain way, the next few shots are pretty predictable. But after the first three or four shots, it gets very complicated because it depends on where the ball is going to land up. So when you give yourself certain qualities in childhood, there's a probability of what's going to happen to you. Because children don't exercise as much free will as we do in the adult phase of our life. Children tend to react. So the teenage years are really painful because we're both reacting and developing the quality of free will. We're learning to do what we want, but we don't realize that we're still reactive. And then in our later adult years, let's say from 30 onward, that's when we're slowing down from this reaction period. And we've developed a certain amount of social skills, professional skills, we've developed some confidence, we've had some relationships, and we have seen where our reaction took us that is not what we want. And it is in that later period of life that we can make course corrections. And those course corrections are coming from a central divine essence of us, where we are saying from a very deep place, I don't want that. I want this. Instead of that's bad, this is good. That makes sense? That was Sonia asking, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, does that answer?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes.
My sense of what you're saying is that the most balanced approach to life is when we incorporate all those aspects, the will, reason, and emotion. So my question is there, for instance, if a person is a reason type, is there some technique or some way that they can remember to incorporate the will and the emotion so that they can not look at situations blindly in terms of just one way? Is that kind of a useful thing to do?
That is the thing to do. So, yes. Let me explain it this way. There are a lot of ways to skin a cat. Okay, so if you are a reason type, one way to start the process is to understand why you're a reason type, to begin to do your own self-analysis, to become more familiar with yourself, to look at your life, to go back in your childhood and see why you react the way you do, why, you know, all these things, okay, which the Patrick lectures help with, therapy help with, a lot of disciplines will help you work with that. So understanding yourself can be the first place to start. But like I said about there being different doorways, you can start someplace else as well. You can start with why you are afraid of or unwilling to exercise your own will. So you can start from the positive of developing your reason so that it is more developed in a bigger container, so you can reach out and hold will and emotion. Or you can look at the other qualities and see why you shy away from them, and make yourself more available, more open, more willing to embrace your own will and your own feelings. And then there are 16 million variations of how to do this. So I joke around that Patrick isn't popular because we will not tell you the way, because there is no one way. Patrick is very Zen. So the way is exactly where you are, looking at what you're looking at. That's appropriate for your spiritual journey, and somebody else being in another location is simply where they are and where their journey is going to move from. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
So not only is reason, will, and emotion very difficult to compartmentalize and keep it compartmentalized, I find the lectures themselves impossible to compartmentalize. I can't teach one lecture without teaching 16 others. So for me, the answer has been to where do I go from here, has been in lecture 44, the very next lecture, the forces of love, eros, and sexuality, because I think that is key to, for each personality type, in uncovering their divine essence and their feelings, to work with their eros. And if I can translate, what that means is what you are drawn to do next from the best part of you is what you're supposed to be doing next. Now, to find that out, you may need to quiet fear. You may need to quiet a sense of, oh my God, if I take another half an hour to meditate, I'll miss my bus, I'll lose my job, I won't get my chores done, somebody will yell at me. So to create space, which somebody else asked about, may be the first thing you need to do in order to do the self-examination work. A reason type might find that easier to do than an emotion type. And will types are not, just because they're will type does not mean they can become a reason type instantaneously. A will type is still locked into win-lose, even though they may use and appreciate and absorb qualities of the reason type. So let's take a will type. A will type might go through 40 years of life winning like crazy, becoming successful, conquering the world, doing everything right, and getting rewarded for it. Well, where spirituality comes in is one day they say that's not enough. Until they say that's not enough, they're on a spiritual path to develop talents, skills, and experience. It's only when you hesitate and say, I think I'd like to do something else. So if you're locked into what you want to do, more power to you. It's only when you hesitate and say, maybe I'm done with that phase of my life. And it's like like a gopher putting his head above the ground and looking around and saying, what's out there? What is possible now that I have my home situation, my profession, my relationship, my children, and a certain level of personal self-esteem and confidence? What can I do now? So there's another lecture that I sent out, because like I say, there's too many lectures. And it was lecture number 6, and I send out a 2-page summary sometimes to tease people into reading the entire lecture. And lecture 6 talks about inertia. And inertia is a wonderful quality of being able to stop going in a certain direction and look around and be willing to disengage from where you were going and go in a different direction. And for a will type, that may be the most spiritual, most important quality they can develop. Because a will type has a tendency to become engrossed with going forward and doing what works and not realize that that's no longer necessary. Does that make sense for you? Okay. Any other questions?
So, Jan, that means that when you are a will type or a rational type and you are not satisfied with your life and you want to change, then you need to change your type?
No. A change is not... change is a dualistic quality. How about develop yourself? How about deepen your understanding of yourself? In other words, it's not your type that is the problem. It is the lack of development of your type. So I've been talking about developed will types and undeveloped will types. The only time a will type is a problem is when they're undeveloped. A developed will type, an enlightened or undefended will type, would be one of the best world leaders we could possibly imagine. Right? So it isn't the will type per se or any other type that is the problem. It is our immaturity and our connection to the lower self qualities, the negative intentionality, and it's staying wrapped up in the qualities of our type instead of seeing how they can springboard us into becoming larger, well-rounded people. Like the other person said, the goal is to be able to access all the qualities of who you are. And everyone has qualities of reason, emotion, and will. All of us do. So if you're a will type, what that means is you may have ignored developing your capacity for feeling. You may have short-circuited, that's not the right word. You may not have paid as much attention to things that create order. And it may be time for you to do that. And you will need your willpower to do that. You don't want to give it up. You want to make it more useful that you can grow. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions right now? Okay. When we talk about the personality types, let me rephrase this. When we talk about issues in pathwork, we're talking about what doesn't work, more so than what does work. Okay, so my joke is, leave what works alone, it works. Don't bring it here. Okay? So we're talking about the qualities of these types that don't function well. And so when we talk about reason, will, and emotion, we're normally talking about their forcing currents rather than their divine qualities. Okay? So in the forcing current, and this comes from lecture 77, interestingly, it's the lecture on self-confidence, a very nice discussion of forcing current, the divine essence of reason is serenity, but the forcing current is withdrawal. Meaning that if the reason type can't attain enlightened serenity, they'll simply go in a room by themselves and close the door and pretend that they've got it. Whereas, in theory, if you have true serenity and wisdom, you can be anywhere doing anything, and you can access it. So for a reason type, they can have developed a forcing current of disengaging from emotional events or aggression or competitive situations because they don't know how to handle it.
So it's like a defense?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Part of our defense, yes. So for a will type, the defense and the forcing current tends to be an abuse of power, which is aggression. Now, when you talk about aggression, there has been a tendency, I use a lot of aggression, and I've been called on it a lot. I believe that you need to use positive aggression to get through the day. I like it. I appreciate it. It is my friend. For a lot of people in spiritual work, they felt that they had to give up aggressive tendencies in order to develop themselves. So, in a joke version, sometimes they see me like a bull in a china shop. Because I'm arguing for a point of view, and I'm doing all these things, and I'm setting up teleconferences, and to me that's a use of positive aggression. But to other people, that is that aggression disturbs where their focus is. So aggression by itself, like any other quality, is neutral. It's a matter of what you use it for. The aggression that we talk about when we talk about the distortion of the will type is the distortion of power into an attempt to win. It's that form of aggression that is the forcing current and the defense of the will type. In terms of the emotion type, the forcing current or distortion of their desire for love is submission. And the reason that's a distortion is it doesn't truly gain love. What it gains is a form of acceptance, a lack of aggression. Submission will keep somebody from walking away from you. Submission will keep someone from feeling they have to beat you up. But submission by itself is not a particular form of love. It's a scheme to try to get love. Just like aggression is a scheme for trying to win, and withdrawal is a scheme for trying to get some form of serenity. The guide uses the word pseudo-solution. Pseudo meaning false. False solution. And that's what these forcing currents are highlighting. Make sense for everyone?
Yes.
Okay.
Jen, you mentioned a few times forcing current. I get a vague impression of, I think I know what that is, but I don't know exactly. Could you maybe just give some explanation about that?
Okay, so number one, the reference is lecture number 77. Okay? And
yeah.
This is Tom, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'll send a two-page version to you. Okay? Just to give you
Thank you very
idea.
Much.
So I'll do that. Made a note. Forcing current is the channel that we are... It's the emotion channel that each type tends to use. Okay? Again, we all use emotion. So the will type is in a river of aggression. They believe that aggression in any form will solve the problem. Okay? And that's a current, and they don't see other currents as valid. a will type would see withdrawal as not effective, right?
Mm-hmm.
So once they're in the current, once they're in the this is the right solution, they don't look back. So a current is a place where you put on blinders and you're no longer looking at what is appropriate moment to moment. Or you have decided what works and that's where you're going to be, that's what you're going to do, that's how you're going to interact and respond to life.
So it's like an orientation kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when we say forcing current, we're talking about having a bit more oomph than orientation.
Okay, so is there is like this, the personality puts energy into or kind of has an investment in looking at things that way. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
So as defined in the lecture, forcing current is a defense using the will level. So if you're on a forcing current, you are utilizing some quality of your willpower.
Yes.
Okay? Again, it's messy. Nobody's without will. Okay?
Yes, that's clear. I get it now.
So the forcing current is created to deal with the possibility that there's one thing or another thing, rather than an and. So in theory, the reason type can see and. I can be alone and I can be with people. The emotion type can say I can have love in terms of somebody sitting next to me and I can have love in terms of knowing that they will tomorrow. The will type tends to see things in terms of or. And the will element, when it's active in us, will see things in terms of or.
Mm-hmm.
So the forcing current is to go to find the win side of the or argument. Okay, to stay on that side. Okay?
Yes, I understand.
So another way to look at it, and I have a diagram of this that some people can't bring up on their computers, so I don't tend to include it. And it's based on the lecture of expansion, constriction, and stasis. I don't have the number in front of me, I apologize, but there is a lecture on the forces of expansion, contraction, and stasis. Reason is in constriction energetically. This is a forcing current. So withdrawal is a way of constraining. Emotion tends to be in expansion. Emotion types tend to be in exaggeration and expansion. Whereas the will types will use both constriction and expansion. Contraction and exaggeration.
Jan?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Lila. So how would the will type use expansion?
To win.
Through expansion?
Well, yeah. In other words, will types go where they need to go to win.
Yeah.
If I need to be included in a group, I will put myself out. I will honor their requests. I will try to make connections with them. I will try to expand myself to be...
Okay. Because, yeah, I've been focusing so much on the negative aspects of that. So, okay, I see that. All right, thank you.
Right, and that's it's very, very important to understand that any one quality is neither bad nor good. It's what we do with it. Okay? So... for instance, from the forcing current, which is the distortion of will, that's where your faults come from. There is nothing wrong with any one aspect of human personality. If anybody can name an aspect of human personality that is inherently bad, please speak up, because I don't know one. Now, selfish is not a quality of human personality. That's a current. That's something in motion. But in terms of preferring to be alone versus together, preferring order, preferring companionship, enjoying the company of others, enjoying a good book, being good at something, there's no inherent bad or good in any one of these. It's when we decide that that's best, or that's the only way to do something. Or when our will gets involved, that's how to get what we want. Now we have invested this quality. Let's say we are good at math. If you're good at math, you start valuing people who are good at math, and you start valuing professions that utilize math. You become enamored of things that can be done with a knowledge of math, and you may deprecate things that do not involve it. That's how a forcing current can begin, from a simple love of something. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, I think.
That's okay. If it doesn't, you might have a question. I'm trying to use moments of silence to see if there's any questions.
Just trying to grasp it.
Jen?
Yes.
Can you? My thing kept cutting on and off. Could you tell us? You know, you were saying that the forcing current for the will type was aggression.
Yes.
So for the reason type, it would be withdrawal, would it?
Mm-hmm.
And for the emotion type, what would that be?
Submission.
Okay, so would it be good if I could, like, use this to identify my type?
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you.
Now, remember that when you identify your type, and I'm not trying to make your life complicated, but your life is probably already complicated.
Mm.
Okay? When you do this, you may notice that you are you exercise certain aspects of your personality with your friends, and a different quality of your personality at work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that needs to be honored. Sometimes when we have to be aggressive at work, the last thing we want to do with our friends is be aggressive. You guys would not believe how shy I am in my personal life because I get tired of being out there. And my idea of a good time is just to shut up and join people and tag along. Okay? So if you saw me in that situation, you might say she's a certain type of personality. And then if you saw me leading a group, you might think I was a different type. But I'm not different types. I'm finding different outlets because I'm a will type. That make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Selena, you, if you're a will type and you can't find an outlet for aggression, I mean positive aggression, a place to really lead, you might lead in smaller ways in different arenas.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might not show up quite as strongly as it might for somebody else who can put all their eggs in one basket and manifest a very strong quality of leadership. And that's what I'm saying, is that there can be leadership on the tiniest level of human endeavor that just never gets noticed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it's not leadership. And it can be enormously powerful for the people who are involved, and yet it doesn't make the newspapers. And on a spiritual level, some of us are working in small places and some of us are working in larger places. It's really important to honor wherever we're working. So on some of these charts, I will send you something else, Selena. I'm making a note here. On some of these charts, you need to have a lighthearted attitude. You need to make three columns. I'm like this at work, I'm like this with my family, and I'm like this with my beloved or my children. And you might see that you go back and forth, and that's a sign that you're a will type. Because the will type is very capable of moving back and forth as appropriate. And again, everyone on this teleconference is probably more will than anything else. Right. Because you're looking for something. And the question where you're saying, what is this and how do I understand this? That's an aspect of will on its way to becoming more developed. And when we are becoming more developed, we are wrestling with less developed parts of our human personality.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody asked before, where's a good place to start? Again, I'd like to say follow your eros. Follow where your heart takes you.
Jim?
Yeah.
This is Lila again.
Yeah.
So, okay, and I was out hiking today, so my brain's a little garbled. But the mask, serenity mask, power mask, and I can't think of a third one, those must correlate to this too, right?
Yes. So in terms of mask, you have the reason type would have the serenity mask, the will type would have the power mask, and the emotion type would have a love mask.
I couldn't think of the love, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Understand that that's a mask. That's not real love. That's a mask of love.
Janne, this is Janet. Mm-hmm. Could I get you to repeat something you said about the reason type that feels like they can't find enough serenity, so they go into withdrawal?
Okay.
And then said that you said that actually once you achieve, and I don't know what you said, a certain level, then you can find serenity no matter where you are.
Right.
You kind of,
yeah.
Because what do you do if you think you're a reason type and you find yourself using withdrawal too much?
When I first started teaching, I was in a lot of distortion. It's nice to be able to look back at that and say, oh, I'm glad I'm not there. Because I thought I had the answer to everything. And now I know I don't. And what I have learned over the years is to always start from the positive. Okay? Mm-hmm. Always start from a place of strength. It's as if you're going to take a step out, don't start out with your bad leg. Start out with your good leg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What you are saying is that I think I'm a reason type, and I think I may be in defense or in withdrawal. Okay? Okay.
Yes.
So let's just work with that, and I understand that we're being simplistic, and you will fine-tune this later.
Okay?
Okay. If you think you're a reason type, focus on the divine attributes, the divine qualities of that. The fact that if you're a reason type, you believe that there is order, and you want to promote it.
Okay.
And you find the places in your life where you have done that successfully, because I'm sure there are some.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has successes. You need to bring those into consciousness. You need to pat yourself on the back for what you've done well. Okay?
Okay.
And what you may want to notice is why, let's say, for example, that it's only recent that you have felt that you have withdrawn. You need to look at what happened. What triggered you? You may have become triggered because you actually stuck your head out of the hole and looked around and got whacked.
Uh-huh.
What happened? You know? Well, the answer is not to never stick your head out.
Right.
The answer is to figure out how you got whacked and to mm-hmm. figure out how to stick your head out of the hole in a more safe environment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So that you feel safe and protected, not immune, but more safe and more protected and more supported. So in effect, as you reached out to become more developed, you may have misstepped, like a child misstep.
Uh-huh.
Well, you don't tell the child, never do that again. I mean, hopefully you don't tell the child, never do that again. What you the goal would be to teach the child how to do it more effectively, more confidently, and to teach the child what factors they weren't looking at when they dropped the vase.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when a child drops a glass of milk, you might want to give them a differently shaped glass that's more appropriate to their hand. You may want to tell them to dry their hands before they pick it up, or to pick it up with two hands instead of one. All these things you're coaching the child on how to successfully do something. This is a positive attitude. This is what you need to give yourself.
Okay.
This is the, I would hope, a more enlightened version of taking care of your inner child.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing wrong with taking care of your inner child, but it is more complicated than that because we're not children.
Right.
But in the undeveloped places, it can feel like that we're children. And what that does, without our fully realizing it, is that'll bring up some unconscious material from our childhood, the wounding that made you a reason type in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So can you feel the choreography here? You reach out to do something, you get whacked. you pull back and withdraw, you start to feel like you're starving to death because you're not getting the interaction you want. If you reach out again without realizing what you did the first time, you're going to get whacked again. And as you pull back, you will pull back with more vehemence. And
okay.
You can begin what's called a vicious circle.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like been there, done that.
So then it's the act of not learning what happened the first time.
Yeah.
If not dealing with what happened the first time.
Right, of doing the investigation, the exploration.
Okay.
Of being kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, what's going on here? If you're a reason type, you should be able to sit down and make some lists.
Right. Okay.
I'm a great list person.
Should be able to.
Drives people crazy, but you know what? It works.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The recognition is what breaks the cycle.
Yes.
Okay.
So when I teach pathwork and when I do sessions with people, what I try to explain to them is it's all about consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You will get in this lifetime what you need. If you don't need it, you may not get it, but that doesn't mean you're a failure. It may mean you don't need that.
Okay.
So on a joke level, people who know me, because I'm kind of stubby, I'm little and stubby and have big legs, I'm not going to be a ballerina. It's not going to happen. Not in this lifetime. And that releases me to go do other things. It's not a penalty. I'm not being punished. But there's some part of my brain that dreams of being a ballerina. It's just going to have to stay a fantasy. And by not doing that, I wind up being a pathwork helper, so it's probably a good thing.
Uh-huh.
And on a spirit level, I can be a ballerina. I just didn't give myself the equipment in this lifetime. Same thing goes for everyone on the planet. The fact that you can't do arithmetic in your head will preclude you from doing certain tasks well. It will lead you down different roads. People who have a difficult time with structure, who can't put puzzles together fast, go do something else. From a positive point of view, you gave yourself that lack, so you wouldn't go there.
Okay.
With your personality, there may be a place where you needed to explore reason more deeply. Now, here's a giant paradox, and I'm glad you brought this up. The giant joke paradox is that if someone is a reason-type personality, it may be because they succeeded so well at emotion that they blocked that area off completely and gave themselves an unchangeable thirst for reason because they don't need the emotion. It's not that you can't do it. It's that you don't need to do it. And same thing for people in terms of willpower. There may be people, when I say people, I mean spirits. There may be spirits who have aced willpower. We know how to do that. We just don't know how to sit quietly and relax. So we may manifest in this lifetime a lack of willpower. Not because we don't have it or shouldn't have it. But in this lifetime, we can accomplish a certain spiritual task best if that capacity is not present. That makes sense?
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by honor who you are. Honor that you gave yourself exactly what you need. And another way of saying that in pathwork is they have a phrase, your life does not lie. And the way we use that is we say, where are you today and where have you been? Because all that is non-arguable. Where are you going to be in 5 minutes or tomorrow? That's a discussion point. But in theory, if you accept that you are in the middle of a plan, a divine plan, and that you are guided to be exactly where you are in this moment, every piece of your past matters. There are no accidents. There were no coincidences. There were no mistakes. It's a toolbox. Now, you can use that toolbox differently in 2 hours. Or you can continue in the same pattern for 10 more years. That's up to you. That's free will. But the toolbox that you're working from has already happened. The understanding of that toolbox, the perception, the point of view, can change completely. So at some point you say, I don't like to invent things, so I'm going to use a fact. My father was in the military, and we moved everywhere. We were in Europe, we were in America, we were every place. I never had a home. I always felt that I lacked something. I always envied people who had a home. Fast forward 50 years, I run around all over the planet. Why? Because I was trained to do that. Because I know how. There's a place where, as a child, it was painful and it was difficult. But as an adult, I have skills other people don't have. And I have a capacity to see things from a different perspective, because I am not homebound. I am not parochial. I didn't grow up thinking there was only one way to do something.
Right.
So it can be a negative, and it can be a positive. I'm not saying that it wasn't painful. I don't deny the pain of my childhood. But there was something else in there. And as an adult, I have activated that positive quality. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm working with the same toolbox, only I have a completely different attitude towards it. So the game is, you were given that toolbox. You gave it to yourself. And I think that that's part of the distinction that Patrick holds that some other spiritual disciplines don't. Not that they're wrong, they just don't promote it. And that is that we are more active players in our lives than we may realize. That from a spiritual perspective, you may have had more input into how your life came about than you may realize.
Jan,
any other
it's
questions?
David.
Pardon?
It's David.
Yes, David.
Do
you have a question?
I have a question. Sorry?
Go ahead.
Yep. I have a question regarding emotional type.
Okay.
If an emotional type throws a tantrum, for instance, is it at that moment they reverted to will type, or is that part of their emotional type?
To answer a question like that, you need to be very, very gentle and look at it from many different angles, okay? So there's no one answer.
Right.
So that's why, I'm going to digress for a second, that's why we irritate people in pathwork, because we won't tell them what the truth is, and we won't tell them exactly what to do in X situation. So it would depend on what kind of tantrum, who they have been, how they've used it, what's going on in the moment. But for instance, what a tantrum does is it wraps you in emotion. Okay? Emotion types tend to throw tantrums more than reason types because they're very comfortable completely immersed in emotion. Whereas a reason type, that'd be like being immersed in poison ivy. Okay? Reason type would rather be cloaked in serenity, thank you very much. But if the emotion type is using the tantrum to try to get something, now we have the element of will. Now there's a little more consciousness and a little bit more deviousness in that tantrum. So an emotion type, and again I'm exaggerating, an emotional type doesn't mind going into meltdown, because in meltdown we are swimming in the river of emotion. We're happy. we are in our element. And we may not notice what it's costing us. We may not see that people are walking away in disgust. We may not see that we're going to get fired. We may not see that we're taxing someone's patience beyond a place they can hold. And so emotion types come out of their tantrum kind of refreshed. Look around and say, what's next? And aren't quite aware that, you know, they're having a tough time realizing what other people's reactions to that might be. And the reason this is, it's valuable to understand the other types than you are, is so you won't just point and say, that person's crazy. You can say, ooh, I see. You got upset, and you didn't know how to handle things, so you wrapped yourself in emotion and got comforted. And now you've come out, and we may need to establish communication again, because I didn't go there with you. Same thing with a reason type. If you're trying to have a discussion and you're trying to connect, and they go away, whether they stand there or go in a room doesn't matter, they go away, it's useful to understand that they may have done that because they couldn't handle the situation. And they needed to disengage for a moment. And the coming back alone is a sign that they want to engage, but they will be coming back in a different juncture than when they left. So it's like leaving the room in the middle of discussion and coming back in, you're going to have missed something. But they are trying to engage, they just can't do it on a very highly emotionally charged level. So there's another place where you need to take responsibility for having a friend or a lover that does that. There's some consciousness in your choice. There's a place where we sometimes join up with opposites so that we can learn something, but we demand to control what we learn and when we learn it. So when they behave like they are naturally meant to behave, we become irritated because we want that, but only at 6 o'clock and only in the living room. Can you see where there's a little will in there sometimes, and the other person has, you know, it's complicated. Does that answer your question, David?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Real quick, is there anybody else? I know David's from Australia. Is there anybody else who's joined us who didn't have a chance to introduce themselves in the beginning? Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay. I'm going to go after the banana. Okay? So there was a question in the beginning by Wendy about the banana. Okay? The banana is a joke version of trying to explain how and why people do certain things. So if you saw the cartoon version, okay, or if you could watch my hands as I gesticulate right now, there's a story that goes with that. And that is that in Africa, if you want to catch a monkey, you use a gourd that has a very narrow neck, and you insert a banana into the gourd. And you tie the gourd with a string to a tree. And the monkey comes along, and they reach in, and they grab the banana. Okay? But they can't get the hand out once it's clenched around the banana. And monkeys don't think in terms of past, present, future. Their tactical abilities are a little limited. So you catch them. That's how you catch a monkey. They, in effect, they can't conceive that letting go would do them more good than hanging on. So when we talk about the banana, it's a way of trying to describe something that we're holding on to, and we just can't see that there are other ways to get it. Okay? So for the reason type, the banana is actually love. I know that sounds backwards. Reason types do want love. They just don't know how to get it. and they don't know how to play in the emotion or the will arena. So they're going to be trying to attain a place that deserves love. So it will simply be given or allowed them, without fighting for it, without arguing about it. Okay? So the reason type is trying to attain something without using tools that dismay or disgust them. The will type is trying to get control. They don't actually want power. Power is the means to the end. What they really want is control. Remember that what they most fear is hopelessness. So the will type doesn't actually have to be in charge, but they need to be in control. Okay? Now, to get control, the easiest way to do that is to shoot everybody else. I mean, that's, you know, that's the simplistic way to do it. Okay? So an undefended will type will make the mistake of shooting everybody else and saying, I'm now in control. And then realizing that it's kind of lonely. For the emotion type, the banana is pleasure. And it is very, very hard for an emotion type to realize that there is a more enlightened and developed form of pleasure than what they may have been used to. So an emotion type might be, for instance, dependent upon their historical experience of pleasure. And a little nervous about learning softer, gentler versions of pleasure. Okay? So the banana changes. You know, you can have different kinds of goals for all these different types. But the banana is the thing that you simply cannot conceive of letting go of. And because you can't conceive of it, you can't do it. So again, by bringing consciousness into your situation, by doing self-analysis, by doing daily review, by reading the lectures, by going into other spiritual disciplines, by learning about different personality types, whether you learn it by studying the lectures or simply going out in the world and being with other people. About yourself. And the more you learn about yourself, the more you may realize about others, and the looser you can hold what you need and allow for more enlightened and diverse possibilities. And that is, to some extent, a definition of a mature person. Someone who's willing to take risks. Someone who's willing to consider other possibilities. Somebody who's willing to let other people in charge periodically, to wait until there's a problem rather than jumping the gun. A person who, if they're concerned about something, is willing to ask why and get information instead of just hanging on. A person who doesn't run away, and a person who doesn't cling to what they know, but allows for a learning experience, which can be very scary. Does that answer the question about the banana, Wendy?
Yeah, yeah, it does, although I can also see that because you've given that as a possibility, there's a tendency to think, okay, then I'll do that. I won't want pleasure. You know, which is putting a forcing current on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, the forcing current doesn't work in reverse any more than it works going forward.
Okay. No, I didn't think so. I know it doesn't work, but gee, there's the tendency.
Yeah. And when we've developed the capacity to engage in forcing currents, it's very that can be very hard to give up.
Mm. Yeah.
So in terms of, there's another way of studying pathwork where we go through soul splits. And in soul splits, you've got life-death. We see things in terms of black, white, life, death. And for the reason type, it would be love versus no love. Again, that's paradoxical, but we all need love. And the reason person has serenity. It's love they want. and they don't know how to get it. So their soul split would be finding love versus living without it. The will type would be having control versus not having control, which they might think is helplessness, but might actually be a reliance upon others to do the right thing. That's the gray area that the will type may need to learn about. That you don't need to be in charge, that not being in charge does not equate to being helpless. But there's a place where you can have loose control, where you can allow other people to affect your life, knowing that if things got out of hand, you could step in and do something about it. And that knowing that you can step in and do something about it may be what you developed in 30 years of distortion. And that's why it's important to look at the positive of whatever distortion you have engaged in. Because inside that distortion is a skill. Inside that distortion is a place where you learned what not to do. And it's learning what not to do that can release us from something. So the film version of this, you know, the joke film version of this is The Karate Kid, where he wanted to learn karate, and the master kept giving him chores. And he was exhausted, and he finally comes to the master and says, I've had it, I'm not cleaning any of your cars. And the master then shows him that he has, without realizing it, built the muscle he needs to do the work of karate. So in the waxing on and the putting the wax on the car and rubbing the wax off with certain motions, he built muscles. Then you take those skills and you put them to a new use. So when you come out of your distortions, bless them and let them go. But don't let go of the skills. Because you were there for a reason, and that's the positive view rather than the blaming view. You were there for a reason. You have your personality for a reason. For those of you who got invitations, you got a gazillion of them. Because I tried to give us extra time, I went online and tried to tease the system, and I triggered two more sets of invitations this morning. So I wasn't able to make that change without issuing another 16 invitations. So we need to vacate the line in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay.
When I do the next teleconference, I'm going to reserve 2.5 hours so that we have the potential for 5 or 10 minutes of overtime. But I didn't do that this time. So what's going to happen is somebody else could come on the line for the teleconference, which is why it's prudent for us to pack it in. Are there any questions before we do this?
Jan, I'd just like to say thank you so much for making this possible. It's been very valuable for me, and thank you for everyone that's attended.
Thank you, Jan. I loved the way you tied the different lectures together. That was really useful. Thank you, and thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you, all of you. It was a pleasure. The next one will be August 2nd, and I'm going to work with the ideas of collusion, which are really complicated. They're not spelled out really well in the lecture. And also, you'll get the information for that. And if you have topics that you would like to have me work on, if these two teleconferences work, then I'm going to go ahead and schedule having two a month. And we'll see where we go with that. As long as there's an audience, I'm perfectly happy to be here and talk about the lectures. It is my pleasure.
Wonderful.
So thank you all for attending. And I will also be forwarding to you the telephone number where you can hear the recording if you missed part of it or if you want to hand it out to someone else.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Heath.
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Have a wonderful evening.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Anyone else on the line? Okay, good night.